See, we don't have to embellish our story. Our story is the story of Christ's work in us. It's not what we do, it's not who we are, but what Christ has done in us and for us. That's our testimony.
This is season 8 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. God's holy word is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's word right now.
Hear the word of the Lord for us today from the gospel according to St. John. This is John chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8. And then verses 19 through 28. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they say unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Betharaba, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We're in a series called Company's Coming. And the irony is not lost on me that we're closing our sanctuary to worship again. The one thing that is encouraging to me is that we worship through Facebook in the season of Easter, and now we're going to be doing so in the season of Christmas. But we've been looking at, for the last few weeks, is what we do to prepare for the coming company. Company's coming. You know, Advent is a season when we prepare for the return of Christ. And so in the first week, we looked at the mess that is our lives. A lot of times we live in our mess and we don't see it. We're not thinking about it. But when we know that there is someone coming, all of a sudden, we see our mess. And we look around and we say, this place is a mess. We have to clean it up. And so we need a cleanup crew. We can't do it alone. Last week, we talked about how the church is our cleanup crew. We need to have accountability. We need to have a community that we worship with so that we can remain connected to the vine, so we can remain plugged into Christ. We need a crew. This week, what we're going to look at is how we decorate our lives and we are remade in the image of Christ. Let us pray. Father God, enter into our study this day by your Spirit. Open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, and open our hearts to receive the word you have for us this day. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my favorite shows of the season is A Charlie Brown Christmas. I love Charlie Brown Christmas because he talks about the commercialism, right? He talks about how there's all these flashing lights and people get lost in the meaning of the season. And then, of course, Linus comes along and he reminds us that the reason for the season is the birth of Christ. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown, he says. You know, but it strikes me that the kids in A Charlie Brown Christmas, they spend a lot of time decorating. And we do too. You know, I'm going to take you around the sanctuary and show you, because we have a lot of things going on here that we don't normally see. I mean, we have these beautiful candles, a part of the sanctuary. There's my wife back there trying to hide, you know. We have all these candles that we will light on Christmas Eve to signify the light that comes into the world. We have these beautiful poinsettias that you have ordered and that Amy has lovingly arranged. Look, they're down here. We have, I think, 30 poinsettias here. It's really remarkable. Then we have the Advent wreath, which is a reminder of the coming of the season. You know, we're counting down the weeks to Christmas when we'll light that white Christmas candle in the middle. We have this Christmas tree in our sanctuary that the kids have decorated. After Christmas season, the tree will be replaced by the cross, which is made from the trimmed trunks of Christmas trees. It reminds us that Christmas leads to the cross of Easter. You know, and we have all of these decorations. We have of wreaths and garlands, and it's a magical thing to have all these decorations. The thing about the decorations is they point our way to the celebration of the season. You know, last weekend, Aaron and I went and decorated the front of the parsonage. We put strings of lights on the banisters in the porch, and we've got colored lights in the front and blue lights on the side. And then we have these two little globey things that spray kind of light on the side of the house. You know, when you look at the house in the daylight, it's kind of drab. And then you look at it in the night, and it's all lit up, you know? And I think the reason for the decorations is almost like the cover, the mundane, the drab, the dreary. We have our daily existence, which is just day to day. We recognize that there is something different about this season. You know, it's the same with us in Christ. When we come to Christ, we are decorated by God, if you will. We put on Christ, and it's His righteousness and His light that shines through us. And so the mundane, the old, the sinful, dirty self has been covered over by a new, clean, white garment of praise. You know, this is what John came to do. This is what John came to do. Now, this gospel that we read today is the gospel of John. And he's talking about John. So it can be confusing, but he's talking about John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. He's talking about a different John other than the writer of the gospel. He says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Now it says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist is a man who he had an origin. Unlike Elijah in the Old Testament, John has a birth narrative, and we find that in the book of Luke, actually, in Luke chapter 1. It's fascinating to read, because you read about this priest named Zechariah, who is an old priest, and it's his duty this year to go and to offer incense in front of the altar of God. And as he's doing so, he encounters the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel says to him this: "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." That's what John came to do. He came to prepare the way for the Lord. He came to prepare the way for the Lord. Now, we read that Zechariah didn't believe the angel when he said this. He said, "How can this be? I am old and advanced in my years, and my wife Elizabeth is beyond the time of childbearing." And Gabriel said, "Is anything too great for the Lord? But because you didn't believe, your mouth will be shut." He shut Zechariah's mouth. And Zechariah went from that place and couldn't tell the people what had happened. And they said, "Well, he's seen an angel or a vision, you know, because it's so great that he no longer can speak." And so Elizabeth did conceive. And we find out in the narrative that Elizabeth is actually the cousin of Mary, who was chosen to bear the Lord. And so Mary goes to Elizabeth after Gabriel announces to her that the Holy Spirit will give her a child, though she is a virgin. She goes to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth at this point is about 6 months pregnant. And when Mary comes into Elizabeth's presence, Elizabeth says to her, "The child in my womb leaped for joy because he's in the presence of the Lord." Even before he was born, John was already proclaiming the coming of the Christ. You know, and so when he was born, all of their relatives came and they said, "What name do you give to this child?" And they wanted to name the child Zechariah. But Elizabeth said, "No, this child is going to be called John." And they said to her, "No, Elizabeth, none of your relatives are called John. There's no John in your family tree." And so they went to Zechariah. They said, what shall we call this child?" And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." And at that moment, his mouth was open, and he was able to proclaim the glory of the Lord. And so they knew that it was a miracle. They knew there was something special about this child. And Zechariah sang a song of praise about the birth of his son, John. Now, fast forward 33 years. Here we are in the Judean wilderness, and John is baptizing in the Jordan, and he's already proclaiming that there will be a coming Messiah. And so the first thing we should see is that we have a purpose. We have a purpose. God gives us a purpose. John had a purpose. What was his purpose? It says, "There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness." That was his purpose, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Then it says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And then verse 9 says, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Now, who is this light? Or what is this light referring to? Well, if we go back a couple of verses, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then it says this, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we're talking about the light, we're talking about Jesus. And so when it says that John came to bear witness of the light, that he was not the light, that's the light that we're talking about. We're talking about the light of Jesus. So we have a purpose. John's purpose was to bear witness to the light. We heard about that in Luke, what the angel said to Zechariah. In the reading in Isaiah today, we read the purpose that was given to Jesus, because Jesus read this in the very beginning of his ministry in Nazareth. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes." You know, when we gather on Ash Wednesday, we put ashes on our forehead to signify our mourning over the sins that we commit that caused Jesus to go to the cross. But Isaiah is saying that instead of ashes for mourning, we will receive a beautiful headdress, a crown of glory. And so the world won't see our mourning. The world will only see our joy. And then it says, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. You know, we are told by the Apostle Paul that we will not mourn as those who have no hope. We have a hope, and our hope is in Jesus Christ. And so we are given the oil of gladness. Remember that oil in the Old Testament and all throughout the Bible often signifies the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So we're given the Holy Spirit, which lifts us up out of our mourning and gives us the ability to feel joy in all of our circumstances. And then it says, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. How many of among us right now have a faint spirit? How many of us feel weighed down by everything that's going on in the world? I know I do. You know, I wake up in the morning sometimes and I just don't want to get out of bed, because I've never experienced anything like this. And maybe this is not the worst that's ever happened to all of humanity in all the world, in all the history of the world, but it's the worst that's ever happened to us right now. Those of us who are alive right now, this is potentially the worst that's ever happened in our lives. It's certainly the worst that's ever happened in my life. This pandemic, it's got people feeling incredibly down. There's a lot of depression that is rampant in our communities. And it's incredible what's going on right now. And I feel that too. But God will give us a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. A garment of praise. What is a garment of praise? That we are able to put on this garment that lifts us up. You know, I think about Bartimaeus, the blind man that Jesus healed in Jericho. You know, it says that he cried out to Jesus, you know, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He heard that Jesus was going by and he cried out to him. The people around him were trying to shut him up, saying, "Shh, don't bother him, don't bother him." But he kept crying out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus called him forth. And the people around him who were trying to squash him down, now all of a sudden, you know, said, be encouraged. He's calling to you. What does it say that he did? He threw off his garment and he leaped up and he went to Jesus. These garments are weighing us down. This faint spirit is pulling us down. But we cast that off and we put on a garment of praise and Jesus heals us. That's what we have to look forward to. That's what God does for us. And that's part of the purpose that we have. The lives that we live are a testimony to God. And that brings me to my next point. We have a testimony. We have a testimony. Verse 19 says, this is the record of John. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but he confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? Are you Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? What prophet? The prophet that Malachi promised. Behold, I send before you my prophet who will proclaim the coming of the Lord. You know, are you that prophet? And he said, no. Then they said to him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. This is John's testimony. Notice, by the way, that he quotes the same prophecy that is quoted in all four of the Gospels. This is from Isaiah chapter 40 that we read last week. He said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Prepare in the desert a highway to our God. So this is the prophecy that John the Baptist is fulfilling. So we have a testimony. And John's testimony is just this. He said, I'm not that prophet. I'm not Elijah. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. See, we don't have to embellish our story. Our story is the story of Christ's work in us. For anybody who ever knew me before I came to Christ, you know what a great transformation has happened in my life since coming to Christ. Now, I'm not perfect, but I'm not the person that I was before I came to Christ. I'm completely and radically transformed. In the same way, there's many people who come to Christ later in life and there is a transformation. That is our testimony. It's not what we do. It's not who we are, but what Christ has done in us and for us. That's our testimony. Some of us are born in a church and raised in a church and never question our faith, and that's okay. You can belong to Christ your entire life. That's your testimony. Your testimony is that there is something different about you. See, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. When we belong to Christ, we are His, and we wear Christ as a garment. It's no longer us who live, but Christ lives in us. We are crucified. Our old selves, our sinful selves are put to death with Christ and raised to new life with Him in His resurrection. That's our testimony. Our testimony is what Christ has done in us. So we have a testimony. And we have a place. This is what the last part says. It says, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And then it says, these things were done in Betharaba, beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. Beth Araba is the place of Bethany. We read in that in Bethany, Jesus went towards the end of his ministry to raise Lazarus from the dead. It's interesting because his ministry began with his baptism in Bethany, and his ministry ended where it began, in Bethany, where he raised Lazarus from the dead. And then in chapter 12 of John's Gospel, we read how he was at a banquet, and Mary, the sister of Lazarus, whom he had raised, anointed Jesus with this perfume, this very expensive perfume. And some of the disciples complained and said, why wasn't this perfume not sold? We could have gotten 300 days worth of wages and we could have given that money to the poor. Jesus said, leave her alone. She's done a good thing. Because you will always have the poor among you. You can do good for the poor all the time, but he said, you will not always have me among you. And so he said that she has anointed me for my burial. That's what she did. You know, he knew he was going to die. He was going to be betrayed. He was going to be crucified. It was part of who he was and why he came. And so his ministry began and ended in Bethany. This is where John the Baptist was. See, God puts us in a certain place so that we can impact somebody's life outside of ourselves. And so when God puts us into a community, he puts us there to be the light that shines in the darkness, to share our testimony with someone else. Now, this is only possible if we surrender our lives to Christ, because then it's the light of Christ that shines in us. It's not our light. You know, our light is darkness. We're brought out of the darkness into the light. And when we surrender to Christ, when we give our lives over to Him, then it is the Christ in us that people see, that draws them. It's the light of Christ that draws them out of the darkness and into the light of Christ. And so we are given a testimony. We have a place and we have a purpose. When we obey the calling of Christ, we become a new creation. Paul tells us that the old things pass away, and look, there is something new. Decorating our houses for the holidays is a reminder that once our lives were in darkness, and now we are bathed in the light of Christ. Isaiah put it this way, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. This Advent, as we prepare to once again receive our God and King into our midst, let us put on Christ and his righteousness, so that his light may shine in us. Let us deck the halls with the light of God so that others may see his light in us and give glory to God in heaven. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful that you give us a purpose, that you give us a testimony, and that you give us a place where we are to share this testimony with others, to draw others to Christ. As we go through this Advent season, let our lives be a witness to your glory, and let us shine our light before others, not to hide it, not to put it away, but let our light shine before others so that they may see our good deeds and give you glory in heaven. That's what we are here to do, Lord. We are here to point the the way to you. That's what John the Baptist came to do, and that's what we are here to do today. Let us open our mouths and share our testimony with our friends, with our neighbors, with our loved ones, with our family. This holiday season, let our lives be a testimony to your great grace and love in Jesus Christ. All the things that you have done for us, Lord, you do for the world. And the world doesn't know it because the world is in darkness. Give us that light that we can shine in the darkness and draw people to you. And Lord, let everything that we do be to glorify you. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this time of listening to and learning from God's Word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. And God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. If you don't have a church family to call your own and you live in the area, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith community in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. And right now during the COVID-19 crisis, we are meeting exclusively online through Facebook Live, and we'd be happy for you to join us wherever you are. Of course, if you don't live nearby, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family. Hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.